welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune. And before Greg and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach, Ted LePage.
All right, Coach, let's take a quick look back at last week's 66-0 win against Southern Boone. And you kind of cut me off last week. You didn't want to call it a perfect game, but that being said, given the fact that you're in a winner... go-home situation now, would you say that might be all around one of the best games you all have played this year, given those circumstances?
Well, I don't know if it's the best game we played. We played a pretty good game, you know, several times this year, but I thought the intensity was there the entire game. I don't think there was ever a gas pedal let off. It looked like no matter who was in the game, they were playing at their optimum effort. And we talk about five things during the week. We started the start of the year with it. If you get your alignment assignment, stance to start, you give effort, you do those five things, you can have a pretty good night. And I thought that's one thing that we really hit on in all areas. All players were doing alignment assignment, stance, start, and effort. And then after that, you know, you get some good breaks and things happen. But I thought we played very intense and very specifically position specific to what we needed to do, and everybody did their job.
You know, and we don't talk enough about the defense. And 10 games... five shutouts. I mean, that's you could match it up against a lot of your other past defenses with Blair Oaks. I think what jumps out at me is, if you look, I think the three turnovers last week put you all at +8 in turnover margin for the full year. To me, it's that this defense has the ability to force teams to go three and out. And I mean, you're going to have games where you can't force turnovers, but can you still get teams to go three and out to punt the ball back? And I feel like that's what this defense has really, you know, put its name to.
And I will agree with you wholeheartedly. I think they're not getting as many snaps as a lot of defenses. The other situation is I think a lot of teams are real careful when they play us. You know, they do things a little bit differently, and you can talk to coaches, and they say, yeah, we play you all different. So they're not going to take maybe some calculated risk, where last week Southern Boone being a game where, you know, this is a winner, go home, they took some risk, and we were able to come up with some turnovers. But I speak with our defensive coaches all the time about how a three and out can be just as demoralizing for a team than a turnover. Because a turnover sometimes can be that just happened. But when you're starting to make three and outs and you consistently get three and outs, we've talked at length many times, 10 possessions a game is about what you get. When you get three and out, you're giving another team a possession right back. That's awful hard to overcome in high school football.
Offensively, too. I mean, just look really – I think you all scored 9 touchdowns on each of your first 9 possessions. And you know, like we talked about after the game, we talk about how next man up, and that really became a big thing going from week 9 to week 11. The fact that the first 6 touchdowns were scored by kids who weren't starters in week 1, whether they were because they were backups or they were out due to injury, I thought that was a very telling sign of how deep this offense can be.
I agree with that wholeheartedly, but it also tells you the intent, like I said, the intent or the intensity of our players, mm-hmm. to when they're at practice. Our second group is going just as hard as our first group, and I spoke about that last week. I don't think you underestimate how hard our third group is going. So I can't underestimate how good our scout team is doing. So I think every day, and Carson Versois alluded to this, the twos are doing just as many reps as the ones, and we're just as intent on them doing the right thing as we are the ones. So very proud of those three young men that stepped in and did the job. But at the same standpoint, the expectation of the rest of the team was, we're not going to go down. We're going to continue to move forward. And I really applaud the other 8 guys on offense to not only step their game up, but get those guys to step their game up also.
All right. You go from one team you're familiar with to another team you're familiar with Boonville. A couple of months between games, but this is a team that, you know, is just finding a way to continue to win. What can you tell us that you've seen from this Boonville team since you played them in the regular season?
Consistently good on offense. They don't have a bad play offensively. They don't turn the ball over. They don't have, this irrelevant penalties. You see a penalty every once in a while, but they're not beating themselves on offense. And then they've got some players on the offense side. Their quarterback can spin it. Their receivers can catch it. They got a really good running back that they found. They got a Division I offensive tackle. So they have a combination that they're really controlling the ball. They're doing a great job of keeping you off balance on the offensive side. Defensively, they just not giving up a lot of points. You look at the last four games, they've only given up an average of 12 points a game. In the last four games, they're beating teams by an average of 50 to 12. So defensively, they got four strong D linemen, three really good linebackers. They really have a good secondary. So they just consistently are in the right spot. They don't make any mistakes defensively. You don't see anybody having big plays on them. Teams are having that drive to football. And you and I spoke extensively about if you have to drive the ball in high school football, there's more chances for making a mistake. And teams have did that. I saw it last week at Namnoster. Namnoster would get a 5-7 yard gain. Next play, get a 2 yard loss or turn the ball over. So they're making people line up and have to go again. And then they play great special teams.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. So before we set up the scene for this week's district championship game, let's look back to the district semis last week, Greg. Blair Oaks, wins 66-0 against Southern Boone. 24 points worse for the Eagles than it was just 2 weeks previous. And it's also one of those things where, it just continues on. Blair Oaks hasn't won by less than 41 in 8 weeks, the last 8 weeks. I mean, they haven't had a close game in 2 months, so I shouldn't be stunned that this one was as bad as it was, but I'm still a little bit surprised that it was that bad for Southern Boone last Friday.
You know, I couldn't get Coach LePage to say it earlier in this podcast, but I mean, I'll say it. I think that was Blair Oaks' best game of the year.
Okay.
All things considered, because you're coming off a bye week, you're coming off two All-State players who are hurt and done for the year, and I thought that was their best game of the year.
So where do we start in terms of that being best? Is it the fact that, I don't know, it's just three and out? Or is it the fact that the Eagles never got past midfield? I mean, both of them are kind of amazing to go. In an entire game, you just don't allow the other team to do anything.
The three and outs, just because I went back and did the math, and in 10 games, Blair Oaks has 53 and outs on defense this year. So that's an average of 5 a game. Right. Which if you talk to Coach LePage, like on average teams get 10 possessions a game, so boom. There's half your possessions is have 3 plays and get off the field.
Which means you have to score on touchdowns on probably the other 5 to even have a fighting chance.
So, this is a defense that isn't forcing a lot of takeaways, but I agree with Coach LePage. I think it's just as demoralizing to have a 3 and out than to have a turnover, because like he was saying in my previous story, look, turnovers happen. You could always say, oh, man, we just made a mistake on that play. We can correct that. 3 and outs, you're like, what did we do wrong? Do we need to go back to the drawing board? Like, you have all sorts of emotions. Yeah. Like, okay, what do we need to change? Because obviously we couldn't get it figured out.
Well, coaches are always talking about, we need to get in the flow. Well, if you never get a prolonged possession, you never get to get in the flow.
Yeah, only 3 first downs. And, that was a Southern Boone team that was coming. Again, I agree with Coach. They were 6-5. If you look at Southern Boone's 5 losses, they were all the 5 good teams. If you look at their schedule, I don't know if you could, they beat Odessa, they beat Mexico, but other than that, they really didn't beat many other good teams. Yeah. They didn't win enough of those games, I think, to get to that next level.
Right.
Blair Oaks, and offensively, 66 points. I wrote in the stories last weekend for the Sunday paper, I thought was intriguing that the first 6 touchdowns were scored by players who weren't starters in week 1, with Carson Versloist and Toby Edler both filling in for an injured Hayden Lackman. Then you have Evander Halford, who was hurt to start the year. He's kind of taken over that wide receiver role from an injured Brady Dafkus. I thought it was intriguing that all 3 of them each scored 2 touchdowns. And you look up 42-0, it's like none of these guys were week 1 starters. First off, if you're Blair Oaks, you're feeling pretty good. If you're everybody else in class 3, you're like, oh my goodness, are you serious?
Right. So, and again, I think that's just, we got to hammer that point a little bit, because I think you and I kind of take it for granted, but every coach says, the next man up sort of thing, and the backups have to be ready to play, or they got to be hungry, because when they get their chance, they need to make their impact. But I don't feel like there are many even like some class 4 teams don't have enough depth. That when you're class 3 or borderline class 2 is kind of, you know, Blair Oaks has kind of waffled in between the last couple of years. To have a smaller school program always have backups that always contribute, that's not something that's regular. So I think, again, for the Blair Oaks faithful, I know they like watching this team and they appreciate what they have, but you better really appreciate it, because you could be watching some of these other teams that don't have starters that are any good.
No.
You have backups that are really good, and you have third stringers that are really good.
I mean, this goes back to what we were talking about in week one, how it's astonishing that they're a class three program and they have a legitimate two depth. We can name 44 players on the two deep roster and have no duplicate names.
Right.
And I agree with you. I mean, you have these kids who are like scout teams or who are playing the opposition in practice all week, and now they're, after all those weeks of practice, they're like, oh, now we get to be the starters? Like, awesome.
Right.
We don't have to worry about pretending
anymore.
Well,
and also, I mean, again, those guys are going against defenses that are really good. So it's not like they don't ever get better. They have to get better, or they're getting clobbered every day in practice.
If Blair Oaks can keep going with these roster numbers with this town, I mean, the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Just way beyond this year, too. Like I said, I mean, their roster, I think they were up to 75 kids last year, but even though it's down to quote marks, to 70 this year, it feels so much deeper this year in general.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break for an ad read. At Carpet Values, we offer the guaranteed lowest prices on all your flooring needs. And now, during our fall savings event, you can save even more. We are stocked full of carpet, vinyl plank, tile, laminates, rugs, and more. Don't miss out on these hot fall savings. Come see us at Carpet Values and take advantage of our guaranteed lowest prices. We're your low-price superstore at I-70 and Highway 54 in Kingdom City. So again, I think that's enough probably said about last week, but let's turn our focus to this week. Here's the thing. It's going to be another week of another rematch, and it's another
week. I'm never getting away from the Tri-County Conference,
Tony. Apparently not. And again, you hope that, and again, I hope that Boonville comes in this week with a little bit of a different wrinkle.
Yeah.
But again, much like, you know, Southern Boone lost by a whole bunch, you know, and then turned around and lost by a bigger bunch again, you know, it's the one versus the two seed, but there's a gulf between the one and the two seed from the standpoint of, you know, back in week five, Blair Oaks won this matchup by 62-0. So, you know,
while Boonville was state ranked then,
exactly,
and so they still are now,
and they're 9-2. So I mean, that was one of their losses. So you go, maybe things are better, and maybe they've improved as the season's gone on. I hope for their sake they have, because otherwise tonight could be another long night.
I mean, Boonville, the 9 wins are the most they've had in a single season since 2011.
Okay.
I would still argue the 2021 team 3 years ago was better. They just only went 8-3 because they met Blair Oaks in the district semifinals.
Sure.
You know, yeah, the only loss they've had was, I think, 2 weeks after playing Blair Oaks, they lost, I believe it was 33-7 to Osage. I was a little, I mean, I think it was a tie game at halftime, and then Boonville, like, Osage just dominated the second half. I was a little disappointed. I thought Boonville would put up a little bit more of a fight after halftime. To Boonville's credit, they won every other game around that, but if you look at their schedule, I think they've only beaten two teams with winning records this year. One is Southern Boone.
Sure.
And again, like, I'm not making excuses, because as we've said multiple times, I think that was the week where Southern Boone wasn't able to get on the practice field until Wednesday. So you don't know how it kind of affected that head on that game. And then last week with Nob Nosser, who was missing 3 or 4 starters due to suspension. I still say not Southern Boone was probably the third best team in the district. It's just the way the seedings fell.
Sure.
Okay, so Boonville, every other team they've beaten has had a losing record, but to Boonville's credit, they did what they were supposed to do against those teams.
Right.
I mean, they're a bad team, and they beat them by a lot.
Yeah.
So, to me, they did what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. So let's say that this turns out a little bit differently than the first go-round, maybe not score-wise or result-wise, but just maybe how it plays out. Is there something that you may be envisioning Boonville doing differently this time around that might give the game a different complexion?
Okay, so I'm going to be upfront. I didn't talk to Greg Huff after the game, Boonville's coach, but from what I could tell on the very first 3 plays from scrimmage, it looked like Boonville was kind of going conservative, and then once they fell behind, I think at that point the goal was, look, I don't know if we're going to be able to come back. Let's make sure we get out of this game injury-free. You know what? If we lose the number one team in the state, it's not the end of the world. Let's keep this team healthy. I think And because based on the way the first three plays were, which were three consecutive runs for losses. And it's just that I felt like that set the tone for the whole game. Now, to their credit, they put in another running back, Mobo Jones, in the fourth quarter. And I thought he ran the ball well, and it looks like he has emerged as number one running back since that game. And Coach LePage said, yeah, after the game, we thought he was their best running back. So we're game planning to try to figure out how to stop him because he had about 122, I believe, yards rushing last week against Knob Noster. So Blair Oaks hasn't seen Jones a lot head-to-head. I think he only had 8 carries in that game in the regular season. So I'll be interested to see how Boonville tries to utilize him in this game.
Yeah. Obviously, we talked a little bit before. I don't think it's going to matter if the Falcons have too many injuries because they've had injuries and seem like they've come over them just fine. But how is the overall health outlook at this point, and you know, how does it look like in terms of having everybody kind of going forward as the games start to really ramp up in importance?
You know, typical bumps and bruises. Coach LePage told me, you know, offensive lineman Justin Ketting, linebacker Wyatt Libert, I think, are both have nagging ankle injuries, but they're going to play. You know, Justin Rodman and Sam Weber. I don't know if they're going. I don't think they're going to start, but I think they're back at full strength, so they're ready to go if they need them to come in off the bench on D line or in the defensive secondary. So they're about as healthy as they can be. Considering, I mean, I don't think they sustained any serious injuries last week, so. I was going to say, on the flip side, it looks like Boonville's coming into this one pretty well at full strength, too. And be very curious, you know, going back to the previous question where you said, are there going to be any changes? You know, it looks like Boonville offensively is starting to use more of a tight end.
Okay.
So you get the tight end alongside a D1 prospect at left tackle like Braylon Ellison. All of a sudden, you've got a really strong left side if you're Boonville. So be curious to see how they try to utilize that against that Blair Oaks defensive front.
Yeah. Looks like, you know, game time tonight should be like, you know, low 50s, mid 50s. Mm-hmm. So looks like it's going to be just a kind of a perfect night for football at this point in the season. You know, we are now midway through November. So you're like, well, this is when you expect it to start getting cold. But I do feel like this should be like a really good fan experience tonight from the standpoint of it's like, you know, it's going to be just a beautiful night tonight.
Yeah. And there's a great crowd there last week. And here's the thing, you know, regardless, if Blair Oaks wins, I mean, there's no guarantee. You have no idea if you're going to have another home game. So really, a lot of times you kind of treat that district championship game like it's a huge deal because you never know. That very well could be your last home game of the season, as we saw, I believe it was, 2020. They went on the road for both the state quarterfinal and the state semifinal game. So you can't assume that there's going to be another home game. So the way I head into this, if I'm a Blair Oaks fan, it's like, hey, you got to treat this like this is the last home game of the year.
Yeah. Although, you know, I think that's the other thing that's really nice about the Blair Oaks program is the fact that it's not going to matter. You're going to have a home crowd-like crowd to every road game probably, no matter where you're at going forward. But I do feel like that, yeah, it is still one more special thing where you go, okay, this is home time, you know. And again, for, you know, we don't talk about it a lot because it always seems like this is a team that has balance across the classes a lot of times. But for these seniors, yeah, if you're right, it might be the last game at home for some of the seniors on this team. And, you know, they've played so much and practiced so much at the Falcon Athletic Complex. This could be the last time they're there. And it might be, you know, kind of one of those things where you go, take a beat at some point and soak it up.
And since that facility is open, I believe they've won more than 90% of their games too. So obviously a very significant home field advantage.
Sure, absolutely. All right, I guess we'll get to the prediction point of the podcast. And I'll just ask you, can Boonville keep it close this time?
You know, I think they defensively, they've got some key pieces, but again, you've got to be on all night. And like I said, the way they've stacked up against good teams this year, they've just had a hard time trying to shut them down. Like, to me, I felt like the Osage game was pretty telling. And I mean, if you couldn't keep up with Osage, how do you expect to keep up with Blair Oaks?
Right.
On the other end, you know, I'll be curious. You know, I think Blair Oaks, 5 shutouts in 10 games. I don't know if they get another shutout tonight, but, you know, I think in all their years of football, they've only had one season with 6 shutouts in a single year. So I'll be curious to see if they try to get that going tonight. I'm going to go with my pick in the paper and say that Blair Oaks wins 56-14. And if that does happen, for the state quarterfinals, Blair Oaks would either play at Hallsville, because in that District 3, it's going to be Hallsville at Moberly. Hallsville has been on the road all postseason long because they are the five seed. Okay. So because now we've gotten to the point where it's, okay, who's hosted the least?
Right.
Hallsville would be the home team if they win. And Moberly would come to Blair Oaks if Moberly wins that game. Okay. So I really feel like that game could very easily be a toss-up, too. I have no idea who's going to win that game. 2-4-7 teams going head-to-head. Somebody's going to win a district title with a 5-7 record.
And then get the problem of having them then turn around and play Blair Oaks. Yeah. So that's your reward. So have fun, fellas. All right. Well, that should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action, J-A-X-O-N, 05. Thanks for listening.